Welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. I'm Kara, joined by Saya and Rowan, your mystical guides. Whether you're a seasoned witch or a curious seeker, join us to explore spellcraft, herbal remedies, and more. Let's embrace the enchantment, unlock secrets, and discover the magic within. Your magical journey starts here. Welcome back, casters. It is another episode for the spooky seasons.
Full swing. Oop, I'm so sorry.
It absolutely is. You're perfectly fine. We are going to start off real quick with Kara's astrology corner because there is some really awesome things happening in the sky, stars, and moon in October, including two eclipses. We're having both of our eclipses in October, starting with our solar eclipse. Hold on. Let me pull up my days here.
You'll have to remind me which way that one goes. Sun in front of me. Go ahead.
We're going to start it off. We're going to kick off our eclipse season with the new moon solar eclipse in Libra. And that is when we have a new moon, remember that the new moon has to be in the same sign as the sun. So it's conjunct. So here's our sun, our moon. And what it is the shadow of the moon coming over in front of the sun. Now it's only going to be a partial for us. It's going to be in totality, probably closer to the equator. So we're not going to see it in totality. Although we do have a close to totality happening in April next year, which if you are in Ohio, you will see it in totality. So I will see it in partial. So, so that's our first eclipse of October, and that's on the 14th, if I did not say it, which is when this episode goes live, which is why I wanted to talk about the eclipses real quick, because, you know, that's happening today when this goes live. It's and also the new moon, right? And then we have our full moon lunar eclipse, which is happening in Taurus, which is really interesting, and I'm going to talk about that on the 28th of October. So we have a full moon lunar eclipse a couple days before Halloween.
How appropriate.
Yep. So first things first, the interesting thing about both of these eclipses is that they are both in signs ruled by Venus. So this is our Venus in the underworld, baby.
Hey.
Yeah.
Love that. Good for her.
So technically, usually, eclipses happen in opposite signs, right? Because new moon, full moon, they happen in opposite signs. However, we are, because the nodes and everything, they're just starting to switch. The Libra eclipse is the first in the Libra-Aries polarity that's going to be happening. So the Aries eclipse will be in the spring. But we're also, so that means we're leaving the Taurus-Scorpio polarity. So we have the tail end of the Taurus-Scorpio happening and the first of the Libra-Aries happening, which is why we have Libra and Taurus instead of the actual opposites, which is really cool. So first thing, if you don't know what eclipses are all about, we're looking at transformation, we're looking at some shadow work, we're looking at underworld journeys and secrets and rebirth. That is all about those beautiful eclipses. When we're talking about these Venus ruled eclipses, we're talking about like relationships, transformations in relationships, rebirth of self-love. We're talking about shadow work around our pleasure and our worthiness and our self, you know, our self-love, our self-care, and all of that fun stuff. So we're looking at some pretty heavy hitting eclipses.
Yeah, that sounds really intense, but like really exciting.
Yeah, so we can think of our new moon solar eclipse being in Libra. First, it has not been, this is the first eclipse in Libra in 7.5 years.
Oh, dang.
Which is fun because that's how that cycle works. Say they do work in cycles, but you have it in like a certain amount of time frame. Mm-hmm. Which the cat just scared the crap out of me. She came barreling out of the bathroom. And I thought
you're already scared and we haven't even started.
Anywho.
So the last time this would have happened was 2015.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, actually 2016. So the last Libra eclipse, it's the first Libra eclipse since spring of 2016 and the first Libra solar eclipse since fall 2005.
Dang.
Yeah. And for the full moon lunar eclipse, this is the last Taurus eclipse until fall 2031. Dang. So we won't have another Taurus eclipse until 2031, which is that kind of huge span because it's got to go through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we're talking about that, that solar eclipse, we're talking about new cycles, right? Because Libra, this is her first, and this is going to be all about that new cycle with rebirth and transformation, specifically around relationships, self-love and beauty and art and all that fun stuff because it's Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that, you know, Venus is like starting that new underworld journey in those areas. And then with our lunar eclipse in Taurus, this is that last Taurus eclipse for 8 years. We're going to be closing out the cycle that we just went through, which was all about rebirth and transformation around pleasure, comfort, money, body image, and sensuality. So best thing for you to do during that time is to really reflect on how the past two years, because that's how long we've been doing this cycle. Mm-hmm. Around those areas that Taurus and Scorpio both really hit and govern. So really look back at the last 2 years. What have you worked through and what have you transformed?
Damn. It sounds like it's going to be a really intense, I don't know what you'd call it, shadow season?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that we're already into the shadow season, right? Because as soon as we hit that, you know, fall time, as soon as we hit the fall equinox, we were going into shadow season. We're heavily going into shadow season now, so much so like our eclipses are like heavy hitting.
Enforcing shadow.
Yeah. Right?
You said do shadow work about your pleasures, and I was like, ooh. Somebody's been talking to my ancestors.
it's awesome. I love just the theme of those like two big, because one, Venus is my chart ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything involving Venus hits me hard.
Yeah.
And it is really something that I really like focus on. And it doesn't help that Libra, which we're in Libra season right now. Libra is my sixth house, which is my daily life and habit and stuff like that. So it's really hitting me right now.
Yeah, it seems like a big, big transformation time for you particularly.
Hopefully I can get a workout going on. I mean, come on, like my health is kind of fallen to the wayside. Hopefully this is me trying to get back into my health.
You and me both. Like, I feel like I've been falling apart over the last like 6 months. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is looking like a good time for any kind of like self-love work, any kind of self-love work. So if that's part of your self-love work, then you got this.
And now I have a bathtub to do so in.
I think October is going to be really fun, spooky season-wise, because we have those two eclipses, pretty heavy-hitting eclipses as well. And we have a Friday the 13th, which is the day before
the
new
moon. That's right. I forgot about
that. So we have the Friday the 13th. We have two solar eclipses. Halloween's on a Tuesday, which is going to kill me inside.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. So.
It's no fun when it's on a weekday.
Yeah, my brother just asked me, he just texted me if I would come to the asylum on Halloween with
him. Oh my gosh.
Do a ghost hunt. And I'm like, it's a Tuesday.
You can call it six. Say it's a religious holiday.
It's not even about the, it would be the evening, one. Mm-hmm. And two, it's a husband can't take off work on Halloween. Like, he can't request Halloween off. So I would have to take baby G.
Okay.
And I don't want to take baby G to the asylum.
For a ghost hunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I'm not going to advocate for you to take your child.
Anyway, so I may or may not be going. Yeah, I may or may not be going to the lunatic asylum on Halloween, depending on whether or not he has work that day, but he can't request off. So, yeah, we'll see.
I hope he doesn't have work so that you can go.
Anyway, yeah, so my brother asked me to come to the asylum with him for Halloween, and I don't know if I'll be able to, and I already told him that. So there is that, but shout out to my brother there for being a real G and complaining that I didn't invite him to our cryptids talk last time.
Oh, well, maybe next spooky season.
He's like, talking about cryptids and you didn't invite me? What? That is my bread and butter.
To be fair, I feel like the last time we had a guest that wasn't Plant Girl, things went awry very rapidly. But then again, it's been some time.
Yeah. It was just Loki. But
And we didn't have like the structure that we do now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were
still young.
Like, yeah, we were just starting out. Like, we didn't know what we were doing.
Fine. We live and learn.
Yeah. Anyway. So today, now that we've got all the fun cosmic stuff out of the way, that's going to be happening. So keep in mind and check out. You could look up where the solar eclipse is going to be in totality. So if you are anywhere in the world that is close to that totality area, go check it out and make sure you're wearing those special glasses. Because
you can use a cardboard box. Powerful.
Yeah, that too. It is so powerful to witness. I actually had the glasses last time. So
I used a cardboard box and some aluminum foil. I pressed my eyeball so hard against the box. I had like a square around my eye. It was worth it.
But yeah, the solar eclipse is so powerful, and I highly recommend if you are able to go and view it, do it. The one in April is going to be coming across in totality for a good chunk of the U.S. There's like a whole map, like starting up near Ohio, and it goes down in an arc. So I don't think that it'll hit you.
Probably not.
But you might have it in partial. Like, it might be partial for you.
A lot of the eclipses that we can see are normally partial. I saw a map of one recently that was like, the totality was in like San Antonio, Texas area.
Yeah.
And it came down from like Washington. It was pretty straight on, but we're not going to see it in that kind of magnitude.
And the solar eclipse that's happening on the 14th, which is when this episode is going up, I think it's happening when it's nighttime for us. So it is happening at a different time, like time zone and everything like that. So it's happening at like, it'll be daytime where it's in totality, but it's not going to be anywhere near us. So that's unfortunate, but it is such a powerful event to watch. Like, just, it's amazing. But anyway, what we're really talking about today is we're gonna get into that spooky season vibe. We talked about cryptids. We got our tinfoil hats on. Now we're gonna get our Zach Baggins on, and we're gonna talk about some ghost stories.
Let me get my hair gel and my thick framed glasses, because I have some freaking, well, a freaking story for you. I am so excited to share it firsthand, just because, like, I've shared it before privately, but I don't think I've ever like publicly talked about it, except for in like a sarcastic manner to my family, who like already don't believe jack shit that I say. So telling the story is just, I'm very excited, but please proceed.
Okay. First, if you didn't notice, our poor Rowan is sick with the vid. So she is not participating. Yeah, she is not participating today. She is okay. She is doing better. Mm-hmm. We did tell her if she had a story to text us while we were recording. So we don't know, but she is doing better. But maybe, she is not here today.
Yeah, which is for the best. She really needs to rest. Being sick like that is really exhausting, and like trying to wrap your head around any kind of thought is also really hard. Brain fog and just being tired. I couldn't imagine. So,
and I know her sinuses are killing her right now too. So I couldn't talk with sinuses that were, you know, killing me. So
liquefied in her words.
Yeah. Liquefied. Yeah. So I've got so many stories that I don't even know which ones to tell.
Okay.
Are we just saying spooky things? Or are we just saying like...
Oh, I really only have... Well, let's do unexplainable.
Okay.
So I have one unexplainable event in my whole life, right? Like, I've heard bobcats screaming in the woods, right? Or what I thought were, like, skinwalkers or whatever. that's not spooky enough, right? It has to be, like, unexplained, like... I've seen UFOs, but, like, I feel like everybody's seen a UFO.
Well, yeah.
There's only, like, a handful that they can look like. What I saw looked like bubbles. So, whatever.
Ball lightning, as Ozzy Osbourne would say.
That stuff is cool as shit looking. But if you want, think about your story. I'll tell mine.
Go ahead.
Since you have,
I have no idea. I have no idea which one I'm going to tell, so I'll ask. I have a bunch of tiny ones.
I mean, it's entirely up to you, homie.
All right, you tell your story.
Pull a tarot card. What a guy do.
I don't have one near me. Surprisingly, they're all in the other room.
roll a die. Roll. And then pick an age.
All right, you go first.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so let me paint the picture. It's summer in West Virginia. It's 2008. You are 17, and you're running away from home. And I say running away from home, I mean you are walking, for some reason, a mile and a half up a country road that's not lined, in 6-inch pumps, rolling a suitcase behind you, because your stepmom decided that she was going to enforce a law in your household that you didn't want to, you know, partake in. So, you know, the falling out happens. Your mom's, you know, a big bitch. You're leaving, right? This is it. You're walking up the quarter mile driveway that leads from your house onto the main road with your suitcase in tow. Again, you're wearing 4-inch pumps or 6-inch pumps in the middle of Appalachia in the summer. Whatever. Where are you going? To your best friend's house. She lives at a crossroads. And that crossroads is... on the right-hand side of the street is all our agricultural fields. And it's been that way for as long as you can remember. And it will be that way for far beyond when after you're gone. Because the land, the people who own it, have willed it to only ever be sold to somebody who's going to make it agricultural. So whatever, you walk past the intersection, right? So you walk through the intersection, you take a left at it, and you walk a quarter mile up the road, up a slight incline to your best friend's double wide. And you realize, oh shit, I didn't call them. They're not here. What am I going to do? I am supposed to be running away from my home, from my wicked stepmother, who is trying to, like, make me do the dishes. I have only my flip phone and a leather-bound journal and my rolling suitcase. And so you sit down on the back deck waiting for somebody, hopefully one of your friends to show up, or maybe their mom or somebody to, like, let you inside their house, because you're just kind of chilling in the sun in the 2009 August heat in West Virginia. So while you're sitting on the patio, you're just kind of looking around, thinking to yourself, like, that you're a fucking idiot because you didn't even bring your laptop, so you can't even really edit pictures or do anything like that. Because if you had your laptop, maybe you could connect to the internet, find somebody to give you a ride, but no, you're just sitting there, bored, feet hurt, really not wanting to be where you are. So you look down the road that you came up, out to the agricultural fields, out to the four-way intersection. It's hot, it's sticky, there's no breeze, it's just still, it's just quiet. And you look a little harder, and you notice that there's a man there at the intersection, and he wasn't there when you crossed, and there haven't been any cars passing or buses dropped by, but there's a man standing there, and he's in a suit, and he's got, like, a really wide brim hat and a suitcase. How weird. When did he get there? Was he always there? And you look a little closer and you squint a little harder, and you realize that his suit is, like, really weird looking. Weird looking in the matter that, like, from his left shoulder to his right shoe, in a diagonal cut, half of his suit is white and half of it's black. And, like, it's like that for his whole body, even his really wide-brimmed hat. So it looks like just a big diagonal slice out of this guy is missing. It looks like he's covered in Vantablack, or at least kind of partially covered. You're looking at this guy, and you're like, what the fuck? When did he get here? I didn't see anybody. I didn't hear any cars. And the thing is, no one really drives the street that goes through the agricultural fields anyway. You've never seen anybody drive that road. And you grew up here. So you get a weird, I don't know, urge, maybe you call it. A little tingle in your spine. Makes you sit upright, shiver. Start getting, like, weird, sweaty, gross feeling. And this urge tells you to talk to the man, or thing, or apparition. And it doesn't just tell you to talk to him. It tells you, this urge, to tell it to come here. And you, for some reason, listen. And so you whisper, come here. Barely audible, towards this man, who's probably a quarter of a mile away from you, and there's no possible way he could hear you. And yet, across the street he comes. Now, I may have left this part out earlier, but at the four-way intersection, there is a very large, twisty, half-dead, half-alive, older-than-dirt oak tree. Its limbs are all twisted and black. And sure enough, as soon as you say, come here, to that creature that you're seeing, or that man that you think you're seeing, he crosses the street and goes behind that twisted black oak tree. And then, nothing. He doesn't come back out. He doesn't walk down the street. It's just that you, sitting on the porch, in the sun, in the quiet, waiting for your friend. And nothing else. And that's it. That's the whole story. That's the only thing I've ever experienced in my life that I can't explain. And I have only one kind of theory. And that's the theory that it's either the Hat Man, which sounds silly. But he was wearing a very big, think like Children of the Corn Amish style wide brim hat. Which, you know, Hat Man, hat made sense. Or he was part of like some sort of time traveling association because he had a briefcase. Large briefcase. Mm-hmm. He could have been a crossroads demon because, you know, I did grow up in a religious cult very close to that intersection, literally within walking distance. But when I tell you, when that thing started walking towards me, the fear I felt, I have never experienced any kind of fear like that since or before. It was like ice cold. It was like gut turning, and it was petrifying. Like, I didn't move. I didn't move not a single inch, even as it walked towards me. Even as, for some reason, my brain told me to say, come here. I just couldn't. As soon as I saw it, I froze. Which, you know, I'm a true crime aficionado. I know now.
Not to do that.
I should have moved. I shouldn't have talked to it or whatever. Knowing now, you know, obviously should have not even looked at the thing. But, you know, I was 17. I was mad at my family. Who knows? And I was freshly out of the religious cult. So who knows what kind of harbinger I subconsciously beckoned to.
Have you ever looked it up?
No. I honestly am too afraid. So
okay, so I just did. That's fantastic. What I've been doing.
Please go forward.
I can't find that exact, like, kind of a description, but if you just type in Hat Man, okay, apparently... the first article that comes up is "Who is the Hat Man? A nightmare shared by dreamers around the world." It's a spooky, shadowy figure often described as wearing a dark coat and a hat. Hat Man is reported to appear in bedrooms when people are falling asleep. It's like a nightmare guy.
Yeah, is it like he's almost like an urban legend, or right. Like sleep paralysis demon that a lot of people see.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing that comes up whenever I look up, like, Hat Man or even, like, a black and white Hat Man suit guide thingy or whatever. It's the only thing that comes up is that. I think it would be an interesting thing to, like, look into, though. Like, if you could find something that, like, met that description. Because obviously, like, the Hat Man and that it doesn't match that.
It was description. Here's a couple other details. It was probably high noon at this time. The sun was beating down because it was August of 2008, 2009. And it was sweltering. It was like 90 degrees. So there's no way I was dreaming.
Yeah.
And where he was standing beside a telephone pole, and he was probably head level with the first spoke on the pole, which is probably about 8 or 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's tall.
So from where I was sat, I was kind of uphill from him and far away. So he looked very small to me. He looked like an average size, but clearly in my 17-year-old brain, you know, he was not threatening, but then very immediately was.
Oh, wait, he's coming towards me. That is creepy. My biggest question is, why the pumps? Yeah, why are we wearing pumps?
I don't remember. I think it's because, so here's the whole backstory. That day, I had band practice not like marching band practice. Like I was in a metal band called called the Queen Among Spades, because I was the only female in the band and I played bass. We had practice in the basement. The guys left and my stepmom saw that there was like a strainer and a butcher knife in the sink. And she was like, clean these and then you can go do whatever. And I was like, I'm not cleaning that. That's a waste of water. She wanted me to like run the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And then she said, oh, if you're not going to listen to the rules under my roof, then you're not welcome under my roof. And I was like, okay, bye. So I pretty much just packed whatever. I don't even remember what I packed. I just know I didn't have my laptop. I didn't have a phone. Because I had a flip phone at the time and the charging port was like messed up. So you had to like finesse it to charge it and it was dead always. Exactly. Yeah,
I remember those times.
So it was always dead and like,
and they never charged well anyways.
And I think why I was wearing the pumps is because the friend's house I was going to, we were both like the same aesthetic. And like she was the friend I would go to like take cool pictures or like whatever. And so I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing the skintiest, tightiest pants I could find that were like jet black. The pumps, which are also black patent leather for Journeys. A hoodie, like a black zip hoodie that when you zipped it had like a big stitch of a heart in the center and when you unzipped it looked like a broken heart. Under that, I was just wearing a bikini top that was black with red skulls. Because I was the hardest chorus person in all of so I believe the reason I was wearing this outfit is because I thought I was gonna go to her house and be like, hey, let's take pictures. I already look cool. You always look cool, so that's what would happen. I didn't realize that when I left my house, one, how far of a walk it was, and two, that I would later be stuck on her porch seeing
creepy demons.
So yeah, that was like there's only a handful of things I can really think, and that's like alien, crossroads demon, time traveler, like, maybe ghost. But it was the middle of the day. That's the part that I don't I can't really wrap my head around. You know, you don't really think of ghosts being spotted at 2 p.m. on an August day, you know.
I mean, it could have been normally anything. I've seen some stuff going on in the daylight.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always seen stuff going on, so.
That's another thing. It's like, I haven't ever, like, seen something like that since or before. It was bananas.
Like, go away, Nyx. Also, this is creepy. Nyx just lost a tooth. Yeah. I don't know why or how, but she just lost one of her little fangs. I don't know what's going on with her. She's being weird. Anyway, what was I going to say?
I don't know. Oh. You've seen some crazy things in the daylight?
I've seen some crazy things, like, in general. But, like, I've lived in a lot of haunted houses, too. So.
Yeah.
But, like, see, I would say that the most haunted place that I ever lived was in Kansas. It was a military base. I cannot remember what the military base is called right now. They all blur together after a while, especially when you've lived like seven different ones. They really do. They all sound the same. It's Fort Stewart, Fort Georgia, Fort whatever. You know, LA is all the same. But this particular army base is where Colonel Custer had his last stand. If you know who that is, some the famous general. No. I mean, it's Kansas. Oh gosh,
he was this big colonel.
C O N. It's spelled not how it sounds.
I know, and that's why I can't spell it. I'm Googling.
C-O-L-O-N-E-L, Colonel Custer.
Little Bighorn?
See, it was during the Civil War.
Yeah, this is Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. He lived in this area for a while or whatever. And maybe it wasn't his last stand. I don't know. He lived there, needless to say. And this military base prided themselves on the fact that it was such a big part of like the Civil War and stuff like that. Like they did ghost tours of not just like places, they did ghost tours of the entire town.
Oh, wow.
Like the whole base was a ghost tour. It was crazy. And like his house was really like fun because we went on those ghost tours, obviously, you know. I think Kansas was where my mom started practicing. Oh, so I was 10. Sense. Yeah, so like she started practicing Wicca when we lived in Kansas. So we did all of the spooky stuff. It was great.
Of course. Yeah. As part of one's spiritual awakening, you have to do the spooky stuff.
And like she was part of the FRG, which is the family readiness group for military families. So she was it's something like the wives of the soldiers and their kids. They all did family days and stuff like that. So we did all these like fun little fall haul. The most I remember about living in Kansas in this particular place is the fall. That is all I remember because it was such a big deal there. Yeah. All of the stuff that they did, so much so that they had like dress, like, you know, those reenactors that dress in period clothing while they're telling the ghost stories and like they walk around.
Yeah.
It was that level. Like I remember one of the ghosts, like one of the parts of the tour, this woman old timey dressed with a lantern, like walking around and everything, you know?
I love it.
But what was crazy, yes, all of that was awesome, haunted, crazy. But there was, where we lived, obviously new housing, right? Like, this is all, like, where we lived was new housing. Like, not more than, like, 12, 20 years old, right? We had an upstairs closet. And this closet was the most haunted place. Like, this was the most haunted house that I have ever lived in. Like, and I don't even, and actually, it's not the most haunted house I've ever lived in. But it was, like, the first one that I remember. And this closet, every morning, my mom would have to turn the light off and shut the door. And I mentioned this a little bit last time. She would have to do this every morning and every night, and nobody went into that closet. And if we did, we shut the door and we turned the light off before we left. So every morning when we woke up, this closet door was wide open, light on. So we turned it off and we'd be gone all day. Nobody would be home. We'd come home at the end of the day, door open, light on. Every fucking day, every day. To the point, at this time too, my older brother, so it was upstairs hallway, the closet, my older brother's room was right beside it. And then my little brother's room was the next one beside it. Like, it wasn't super close, but the wall to his bedroom was like the same wall as the closet. And then mine was at the end, right? So during this, my older brother had nosebleeds daily. He would wake up just dripping nosebleed, crazy. Like, they took him to the doctor and everything. They never figured out what was wrong. Like, but he, and I'm pretty sure that after we left Kansas, his nosebleed stopped. Like, but that is like one of the biggest things that I remember when we lived in Kansas was he would always wake up with a nosebleed. Like, his pillowcases were perpetually stained with blood.
Oh.
Like, it's crazy.
That sounds so scary.
Yeah, I had no idea, like
already
no
idea freaked out.
And then little brother refused to sleep in his room. He slept on the couch until, God, he still, like, we had to buy him a couch for his bedroom because he wouldn't sleep in a bed. Like, when he was in high school, when we moved up here, he was like that. Like, he refused to sleep in his bed. He would only sleep on the couch downstairs. And we never really, like, at first we didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we thought maybe he just wanted to watch some TV because his was the only room that didn't have a TV in it and stuff like that. But he was little. I was 10. He's 6 years younger than me, you know, like.
Yeah, there's.
He's like 3.
Yeah.
Which is the same age as Baby G, which is crazy to think now in context, like, now that I have a 3-year-old, like, to think what my brother was going, like, what was going on with him when he was 3, that's terrifying. I never really thought about it. But he would never sleep in his room. He said that the bad man would get him.
Oh.
He couldn't sleep because of the bad man. And, this is when he came, like, he started talking about what my mom and dad always said it was an imaginary friend. And, like, later on when we talked about it, we're like, that's not imaginary friend, because he called him Ghost. Like, his imaginary friend was Ghost. And we know for a fact, like, whenever I got older, I was like, that was a ghost.
Yeah, for sure.
My brother's imaginary friend, which was his protector, because he even said, Ghost protects me from the bad man. Ghost said to sleep down here. And he has,
it's like textbook.
He had Ghost. He talked about Ghost all the way up until he was like 13, I think. Wow. And and that, like, we only lived in Kansas for 3 years, so, like, Ghost followed us.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask. We were, so after that, like, after we realized that Ghost was probably a real ghost, and that he followed us, and it wasn't just an imaginary friend, we kind of had, like, this little bit of a heartbreaking, like, discovery about who Ghost was. I have an older brother that passed away.
Oh.
I don't know if I ever told you that he was stillborn.
No.
So he was a year older. He would have been a year older than me. And I'm going to say his name because, you know, his name was Teddy. So we realized that Ghost was Teddy protecting.
Yeah.
Well, little brother. So when we realized that, like, it was a huge, like, upset. Obviously, it was a huge upset for my mom, but she was, like, happy, sad about it, you know, whatever. Yeah. So there's that. That was, like, the one thing that happened. And then same place, I had a friend who whose dad was an officer. So they lived in the old, like, original housing, the, like, from that time period kind of era housing, because he was an officer. Creepiest fucking house ever. All right. But we'd always, she had the biggest house, so she would invite all of us over. And she also had the eeriest collection of porcelain dolls.
Listen, okay, hang on. If I may interject. I was a child who had a collection of porcelain dolls. I did not want them. They were constantly gifted to me as, like, cop-outs from my family. So every Christmas and every birthday and even every Easter, I got a flipping creepy-ass porcelain doll for, like, 4 years. I had boxes of them, and they were horrible. So they are don't horrible. Judge this chick. Don't judge this chick on
she
her
liked
eerie
them.
Dog. Oh, okay.
No, never mind. No, she asked for them. I had porcelain dolls too that were gifted to me, and I hated them, and I threw them in the closet. But she actually collected them. But they were creepy as hell, to the point that whenever we did have a sleepover, all of us would be like, listen, your dolls have to go in the closet if we're sleeping in here. Otherwise, we're going to sleep in the living room. We're not doing this. But what's really creepy is, like, so, yes, those dolls moved all the time.
I don't like that.
That's why we did not like the dolls. They would, like, we would leave her room, go downstairs for, like, dinner or whatever, come back up, and the dolls were out of the closet. And nobody had been up there. It wasn't like she had an older brother who was messing with us. She was the oldest. And then, so, if we were sleeping up in her room at night, we would hear pounding on the steps, like, doo, 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 all the way up to her door. And then let's scuttle away, right?
I don't like
this. And then, yeah. And then one time we were down in the basement, which they had like transformed into like a rec room. It didn't look like a basement, you know, even though this was like one of the older houses.
Fine.
we were, you know, being, you know, preteen girls doing our little like little fortune teller things and everything and giggling and laughing. Mm-hmm. And doing one of the girls without realizing we were doing which
exactly.
One of the girls, go ahead. One of the girls like stops and like her eyes get like really wide.
Oh.
And we turn around and it looks like there's blood dripping from the walls.
Oh okay. My God.
I'm not kidding.
What the fuck? Okay.
All right. Mind you, we're 10. 10 and 11 at this time. This is what's happening to me when I was 10. We like stopped and I was like, are we seeing things? Is your dad messing with us? And the girl goes, I have never seen this before. And we booked it. There was like six of us. We book it up the stairs, up into the kitchen. We're screaming. And of her course. Dad, who just came home from like whatever he was doing, I'm pretty sure her dad was like an officer above my dad. Like, so they were in the same unit.
Oh my gosh. Like, okay.
So that's why we were friends, right? Because our families, we were all in the same unit and everything. And he's like, what? And we all just, it's bleeding. And he's like, who's hurt? We're like, no, the wall.
Oh my God, poor man.
He goes down there and he's looking everywhere. He comes back up. He's like, what are you talking about? There's nothing down there. Mm-hmm. And so he walks us all back down there. And so we can show him what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing. Not there even never a stick. Is. There was nothing, but we saw it. It wasn't like it was dark in there either. We had all the lights on. We had like those little fairy lights. We had the overhead lights on. We had a TV going. There was no way that like any kind of trick of the light could have happened with that. Like the walls were oozing. There is no way that we could have like even all hallucinated that. We all saw it exactly the same.
Oh my God. Okay.
Crazy.
Do we know the history of this building? Or the ground
we never looked into it. We never looked into it, but it was on the so there was a part of the base that was for like it was like the plane. It wasn't like an airport, but it was where the planes and stuff went because of wherever
like a hangar.
They had planes that landed and took off there and the helicopters and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it was in that area. We don't know anything. Like, I never really looked into it, never really thought about it, because I would have to remember the exact location.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. But, like, obviously, it had always been officer quarters, because that's how military bases work. If it's an officer's quarter, it's always an officer's quarters.
Hang on one second. When you spoke just now, I'm not sure if the recording's going to pick it up. But your voice glitched into two voices, and one was really low, and one was your regular voice.
Not okay.
I don't know if that's gonna pick up, but you said the word how, and it was like,
nice.
Just so you know.
Okay, all right. Well, if while I'm editing, I hear that, I will probably scream and cry.
I hope I just misheard you. I just hope it's a glitch. This is giving the FA episode all over again.
I hope that you're just imagining things.
Yeah, me too.
Because of scary stories.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go with that.
I would say that
is hallucinating.
I'd say like that's probably one of the scariest places that I've ever lived and been around and experienced and everything. The other one will make you not want to go to my parents ever again, even more.
Okay.
Because so the old house that's in front, like the storage house, the foundation was a one room schoolhouse. So the foundation of that building was a one room schoolhouse. When we first moved back up here, when I was a sophomore, so we're talking 2006, 2007 in that area.
Yeah.
So we just moved back in. We were waiting for the new house to be put in. So at the time, there was only three bedrooms in the entire house. And so my grandma and grandpa had a bedroom. My older brother already had a bedroom because he moved up there before we did. So he had been living with my grandparents because he didn't want to go to Texas. So he had a bedroom. And then the other bedroom, my mom and dad took. So that left me and my little brother to sleep in the living room. He got the couch. I had to sleep on a cot until our new house got put in.
Of course.
Whatever. You know, it is what it is. It was only for a few months. But the craziest thing is, one night, I'm laying on my cot in my sleeping bag. I'm watching a Dungeons & Dragons movie because I had it on DVD, and why not?
Iconic.
Very on par.
Right? Okay. Everybody's in bed. My brother, I can hear my brother's TV. It was on Toonami, I think is what it's called, where Cartoon Network turns over to anime.
Yeah, it was on Toonami.
That. I can remember that. Okay, but it was low enough that I could hear what was on, but I couldn't make out exact words or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I could tell what was on. And my little brother was asleep on the couch beside me. I am drifting. I'm not 100% asleep. I'm not even 100% like, I'm like right there trying to go to sleep. I had my eyes closed. I was like in that moment. And I heard giggling.
Oh, no.
Okay. And I open my eyes. And I was like, wait, what? What did I just hear? And I hear three different sets of giggles, okay? Very distinct little children giggles. Very distinct little children giggles coming from the dining room, which is right, like, so living room, archway, dining room.
Mm.
Like, maybe 5 feet from me.
Oh no.
I hear giggles, and it's all dark. The only kind of light that's being thrown out is from my brother's TV from his room, and it's like, you know, that just a little bit of blue that doesn't really light up anything. My TV had already been turned off, so it was dark in there, right? Because movie is over, I turned off the TV. And I go, oh hell no. Like, verbally, loud. I go, oh, hell no. And I pull myself into the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm just like, go away. I need to sleep. And then it just stopped.
I love that you have the courage to just tell them to fuck off. Good for you.
Well, I mean, growing up with as many experiences as I've had, you know, at this point, I was just like, one, oh my god, why is it little kids? But also, I need to sleep. Not having
that was
this
not
today.
The time.
That was not the time, Linda. But so what's even worse is like the next day at school, I'm talking to one of our friends, our old who is in our coven, who I went to high school with. I don't know if we have a nickname for her yet, or do we?
I don't think so.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
The
one who went missing once. Okay. So I was talking to her afterward, like the next day, and she's like, you look really tired. Why? And I told her why. And she goes, oh my God, thank God. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because she used to come over and hang out with my brother before I moved down, right? So she'd been in the house.
Right.
She'd heard the same thing when she spent the night once. And so she tells me this. She goes, thank God, I thought I was crazy. I heard the exact same thing the last time I spent the night out there. And I was like, cool.
Great. Cool. Awesome. Love this.
At least it has been confirmed I wasn't hearing things. And then I brought it up to my brother, and my brother's like, oh yeah, I hear that all the time. And I was like, you couldn't warn me?
Yeah, like, some precursor would have been great.
Like, we've only been here 2 days. Like, we just moved in 2 days ago, and you couldn't tell me that every once in a while at night you hear three giggles going on?
Yeah, that would have been amazing for you to tell me. Thank you.
Yeah, like, I would have been a little bit more prepared, man.
How very big brother fitting.
Right? He's always been like that, though. He don't care. He thinks it's funny.
No.
There's that one. And then after we moved back after we moved into the newer house years later, I'm in college now, like probably my sophomore year of college, I wake up from the worst nightmare where in the nightmare, I look out my bedroom window into the backyard, and there is a woman in white period clothing with two little kids also in period clothing standing there staring at me. Okay. I think it's a dream. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking this is a dream. Mm-hmm. And I go and I tell my little brother about this dream. And he goes, "Oh my God, no, that wasn't a dream." And I said, "Yes, it was. Yes, it was." And he goes, "No,
tell me it wasn't."
He's like, "No, because I saw the same thing last night."
Oh my God.
And I said, "No, okay. You didn't."
We're panicking.
I was asleep and it was out my window. He goes, "No, I saw the same thing when I looked out the kitchen window, which faces the same direction."
It does. I've been there.
And I'm like, "No, no, you didn't. Don't even say that there is a woman in white with two kids out in the backyard.
Don't even joke about this."
Like, not funny. He goes, "I'm not joking. I'm just happy I wasn't the only one who saw it." What?
Can't do it. Cannot.
Oh,
I can't handle it. It's too much.
And that's not counting all of the weird creatures that we've seen in the yard. I mean, come on.
I can't do it.
And those are, listen, and the creatures that I've seen in the yard are in broad daylight. Like,
I think that's the scariest part about any kind of like ghost story is if it happens during the day, immediately is like 10 times scarier. Because like, right? You expect things to go bump in the dark.
Yeah.
You expect houses to breathe because, you know, old houses do that.
Yeah.
But like in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
The audacity of these ghosts to not be on an appropriate schedule.
For real though,
how scary are you?
I'm pretty sure it was the house in Kansas. My grandparents were visiting and they had their pill case that had like the Monday through Friday pill case or whatever. We put it up on top of the fridge. And we pushed it all the way to the back of the fridge so nobody could get to it because my little brother had a tendency of climbing on things. I'm standing in the kitchen talking to my grandma, who is sitting on the chair in the – we had like one of those little breakfast tables inside of the kitchen. She's sitting on the chair there, and I'm on the opposite – like on the other side of the kitchen from her. The fridge is in between us. We're in the middle of a conversation. I watch this pill case lift and fly across the room. It is like noon.
Did she have medicine due at that time? Because, like,
I don't know. All I know is I had to sit there and pick up like 30,000 pills off the floor because it also busted.
That is so scary to me. That is so scary.
I was like, it's like, "Grandma, you saw that, right?" She goes, "Oh, something must have knocked it." I said, "I saw it lift and fly." And we looked up there. There was nothing else up on top of the fridge that could have done that.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
So I tell mom. Like, mom comes running. She hears it. She thinks my grandma fell or something.
Yeah.
And she comes running in, and she sees all of it. She goes, "What happened?" I was like, "That thing just flew off the fridge." And she goes, "No, it didn't." I was like, "Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I watched it." And then 2 days later, it happened again.
Oh, my God.
My mom saw it that time.
Well, thank fuck. You've successfully unlocked a memory, a spooky memory of mine.
Oh, yay.
So, bonus story. So when I was a kid, it was probably 2001, because my grandpa had just passed, 2001, 2002. So very small. I was like 11 years old, because I'm old as shit. So me and my cousin, B, he's maybe a year older than I am. We are asleep in my grandma's house in the guest room, which just had like a bed in it, like a, I don't know, like a twin bed, and how do you call it, like a vanity. So it's like a dresser / desk situation with a mirror attached and like a little stool. Yeah. That's over to like the right of the bed. So like when you walk in the room, it's very small. You open it, straight in front of you is the bed, and it's like horizontal. At the end of the bed is like a really tall bookcase, and it had like encyclopedias and like novellas, because my granny's that kind of lady. but then at the top of it the top two shelves were, well, the top shelf and, like, on top of it were reserved for her porcelain jester collection.
Oh, no.
Which are, like, little desktop figurines, right? That have, like, clown outfits on and bells. I've seen them. Yeah, they're horrible. Absolutely
terrifying. They're terrifying. Also,
so those were on the top, like, on top of the bookcase. I'll call it the top shelf, but it's really not. And below it, on what would be the top shelf, are, like, music boxes and even smaller little guys or whatever. And there's a window on that same wall. Side note, this is also middle of nowhere, West Virginia. In the middle of the night, me and my 13-year-old cousin are trying to go to sleep, but we're just, like, giggling and carrying on and whatever. My gran is across the hallway in her bed, dealing with, like, the death of her husband. She's already asleep. She's, like, already, she's exhausted.
Yeah.
So me and my cousin B are finally, like, giggling and winding down. We used to do this thing where we would count our yawns, but, like, it would just keep triggering each other. Like, I would yawn and say a number, and then he would yawn and say a number because he's yawning. Now I'm yawning. It was a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
We would do that until we fell asleep. And we were, like, in a lull where no one was yawning. And suddenly, one of those music boxes started playing that was at the foot of the bed. Like, 6 feet from us. And it's, like, pitch black in this place because there aren't street lights in West Virginia in most parts. And,
especially in rural areas.
Exactly. So my cousin B is closest to the door. I am on the other side of him. The door is open, which fucking scary as shit. I don't sleep with doors open if I don't have to, because a door open to a black hallway is just asking for ghosts. The door's open because we're children.
And, I can't sleep with a closed door, though.
See, no. I'm so it's opposite.
Closed doors creepy to me.
So, the music box goes off, and it plays, like, I don't know, four notes. It's enough to where my 11-year-old ass is scared as shit. Like, I am, like, the blankets are immediately pulled to my chin. And B, I can feel him roll his head over to me and say, "You want to race to grandma's room?" And I, like, pole vaulted over him. Like, I just cranked myself to the right as hard as I could and barrel rolled over my cousin and flailed out the room because it was so scary. Because one, clowns. Two, it's dark. Three, crazy, creepy music playing.
Yeah.
It was so scary, and thank you for unlocking that memory. Side note, look who's live.
Aw, Loki's live. Shout out to Loki and his Twitch streams.
Chaotic Tactical Banana. Oh, you can bleep that. I'll ask him.
I'm sure he won't care.
Do you shout want me to tell him?
Yeah, he's being shout out on the podcast right now. Shout out to, what is it, Chaotic Tactical Banana on Twitch.
Yep.
If you want to watch Loki do some video gaming.
Hang on, I'm going to turn him up. All right.
It says right there, which is fancy for sparkly water. No, this isn't sparkly at all.
Hang on, I sent it. Tastes like flavored water. They're probably going to respond. Boop.
Like the scent of a flavor. Wait, what do you mean you're shouting us out on podcast right now? Is our podcast getting shouted out on another podcast? I'm very confused.
I know which podcast, and okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That is
fuck yeah.
That is one of the coven members.
Oh, nice.
So also, which I gotta catch back on what you guys have been doing.
If you would read the chat. Oh, hang on.
Just announcing NATO. We are scheduling out some spooky games that we're all going to play.
This is like actual gameplay stuff. Okay, I'm just going to leave so that they know, like, okay, we shouted you out. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We help you, help us.
Yeah, I try to, like, every time they go live, I, like, open it and then just mute it because it's not anything I'm 100% interested in, but it's a friend, so I will support. Anyway.
Yeah. Need to make sure that Loki gets caught up on episodes, or maybe even try to get him back on an episode
one day. That'd be fun. He just needs to get caught up in our group chat, because... It's a ghost town.
Listen, I know I'm a little behind on it, but that's because I've been not inside.
Not really anything. I still read everything. The memes.
I mean, I still read it.
Yeah.
And every once in a while contribute.
Plus, Yumi and Rowan have our own group chat, so it's not like you're really missing out on anything.
No, I figure one way or the other, I'm gonna find out what's going on.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of.
Look how creepy this is. Oh, no, it's too big.
Did you get that at New Orleans? In New Orleans?
Yeah.
I can tell. Creepy, creepy, creepy.
I think she's gorgeous.
I'm not a fan of stuff like that. It just creeps me out.
I could see an actual
ghost and not be creeped out, but that creeps me out.
So I am not creeped out by the ones that I like physically buy, because I buy those from like people who make them in the square.
Yeah.
So like I know where they're coming from. So it's not like I found it at a thrift store, you know?
Yeah, that would be worse.
So like Mardi Gras masks from New Orleans are normally pretty good about not being endued in witchcraft.
Yeah, I mean, it's New Orleans. They're pretty on top of their spiritual shit.
That's very true.
Needless to say.
Second side note. I bought myself indirectly, and I say indirectly because I meant to return it to Amazon and then forgot about it, so I'm stuck with it. I am reading the Vampire Chronicles.
Oh.
So it's Interview, it's The Vampire Lestat, and then it's Queen of the Damned, all in one book. It's a leather bound, and it's the gold gilded sides.
Ooh, you got the pretty version.
I thought I was getting the pretty version. It came used and smelling like human waste and cigarette smoke. So it had to air out, which is why I was going to return it. But I started reading it with my friend, who I actually bought the book for her birthday.
Yeah.
And then I bought the actual like paperback version. So we're reading it together and we're having like vampire book club. I understand now why I couldn't read it when I was like 16. It's really dense. I'm only 80 pages in. It's hard.
Yeah. You have to really like really want to read it. But she's such a good author. It's such a good like grouping of books. Really is. My cat. Sorry, I'm making faces.
No, go ahead.
And I know you can see me making faces, but Nyx is like face planted onto the screen, licking it. And it is the weirdest. Hold on. I will. Because you can't see from
the video. Someone gifted me a sub to our friend's Twitch stream.
Someone what?
So on Twitch, people who also watch the stream, who are like fans, I guess, can gift you subscriptions on their behalf. So like somebody named Polish Hoax on Twitch. I know, right? It might be Polish, but I'm going to say it's Polish because it feels better. It says, gifted you a tier one subscription or 1 month subscription to Chaotic Tactical Bananas page. Oh. So like for 1 month, I am like a super fan and I can like interact with them in different special ways. And I have like access to like watching other streams that they've done, or like, I don't know.
Cool. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Super nice of them. Thanks, Polish hoax.
If that is your real name.
Yeah, I don't. What is this, a Twitch shout out podcast now?
Hey, every once in a while, we gotta homies help homies, man. We gotta shout these guys out every once in a while.
Every once in a while. We get it right every once in a while.
Yeah. I sent a picture to the group chat of what Nick looks like.
Oh my gosh, like, how sweet. Oh, it's because I see me on there.
Well, she was like looking towards the this other side, like right beside mm-hmm. the panel where our faces are. And she had her head like pressed against it and she was licking
it. I wonder if
it.
It's because it's warm.
I don't know. She's getting old. She's like 14 years old.
Wow. My cat does that thing where he like runs his paws on things like screens, like computer screens.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
he just does like. It's so bizarre.
Crap out of her. I can't handle that.
It doesn't bother me.
My thing is, whenever she does anything like that, she has her claws out.
Oh, yeah. Crowley doesn't do that. He doesn't. He very rarely uses his claws. He only uses his claws on his scratcher when he's stretched out. When he's stressed out, excuse me.
Yeah, no, if she's doing anything, she's got her claws out, which is why I'd be mad if she did that to my stuff. Because she would scratch the hell out of the screen.
That makes total sense. Yeah, no, so Mardi Gras masks, not a problem. Dolls, absolute problem. Because and I think Zach Baggins said this, is that, like, dolls can be vessels for demonic forces or some shit like that. And I was like, yeah, absolutely they can. It's called a puppet.
Like, right? Let's talk about that, right? Like,
legitimate witchcraft.
Yeah. And like, just, you heard it here, folks. First, folks, don't with the dolls.
Just fucking don't. If you could just don't do that.
Just don't with the dolls. Just, why?
Yeah.
Don't.
This spooky season, maybe just don't with the dolls. Yes. And also, like, Ouija boards, probably don't also those.
Yeah. I don't mess with Ouija boards.
I do. I have messed with one of quote-unquote official Ouija board and had like a horrible scary experience because
they're not fun.
I couldn't speak and was having like really vivid visions of people being stabbed with knitting needles, so
fun.
I have a planchette tattooed on my leg, so just for spooks, just for funsies. And then I've played with two homemade talking boards. I won't call those Ouija boards. I'll call those talking boards.
Air boards.
Mm-hmm. But, like, homemade meaning, like, you use, like, a blessed piece of paper and, do a salt circle and, like, you're using, like, a smoke-cleansed shot glass or whatever. What else should people stay away from this spooky season besides dolls and Ouija boards?
Huh, that's a good one. Let's give you some spooky season advice here. Yes, yeah, stay away from porcelain dolls, Ouija boards. Don't buy anything from thrift stores if they feel icky.
Yeah. Very good. You know what? You should go running, sprinting towards is your local animal shelter, because black cats do not get adopted very frequently, and they are in like really high danger around spooky season because of the incredible stigma that goes around black cats. So if you're a cat person and you are looking to adopt, spooky season is the time to do so, because you are potentially saving kittens.
Yeah. Find that black cat, because they are so much more at risk around this time because of the stigma. Even though, let's talk about the real like meaning behind black cats. Yes, they're always associated with witches, but that's because the black cats helped the medicine people, and the medicine people were considered witches, and they are actually considered a sign of good luck, not bad luck.
Correct.
Enough. Just like the number 13, it's considered good luck, not bad luck. And because, you know, let's demonize witchcraft and all of that paganism belief, we're going to make all their good luck things bad luck things, even though that's not the case.
Correct. Like, also, cats in general are seen as familiars because they helped with the mouse problem. And mice carry diseases. And if you had a cat that was eating those mice or keeping those mice at bay, and you were healthy when everyone else was sick, you were also seen as a witch because obviously you were consorting with demons to, you know, like encourage your health for some reason.
Yeah.
Or you were plaguing other people to be sick. So really, you, you just had a clean house.
You're right. Fun fact, there was an entire town during the time of the Black Plague that did not get sick, and it's because they kept onions out on their windowsills. Because onions will pull in toxins, so if you cut an onion and you leave it near somebody who's sick, it, like, soaks up all that, like, gunk. It's really gross.
Ooh,
it
really is. We gotta tell Rowan this.
Rowan! Get an onion! That's why, so, like,
if ogres are like onions.
So if you leave, like, an onion out, sitting out overnight, and, like, the next day it's, like, really, like, gross-looking, it's, like, soaked up, like all of the bacteria and stuff in the air. Because that's one of the things that onions are good for, is that kind of bacterial cleanse.
Is that why you cry when you cut onions? Because it's attacking the bacteria in your eyeball?
I don't know about that. Not all onions make you cry.
I cry every time I cut onions, but that's probably because I get emotionally invested in my food. So,
I cut an onion every day. I eat onions all the time. I don't cry when I cut onions anymore unless it's a really, really strong onion.
Yeah.
Like, if it's really strong, like, overripe, then I will start crying. But,
oh yeah.
No, I can cut onions all day.
I also just hate cutting onions because of the layers and, like, they just, like, slip out from under my finger. Fuck an onion! Unless it's for magic. To stay away from Ouija boards, porcelain dolls, get yourself a black cat and an onion.
Yeah.
And have yourself an excellent spooky season.
Stay away from weird feelings thrift store things.
Yep. It
gives you the ick. Don't stay away.
Yep. I think it's our catchphrase here is, like, do what feels right and stay away from what feels wrong.
If it gives you the ick, stay away.
Yep.
All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We had a really good time. It was really fun. Hopefully, Rowan feels better for next time. I have no idea what we're going to be doing next time. So, surprise for you guys. We'll figure it out later.
It's a surprise for us, too.
It's a surprise for us, too. But I'm pretty sure our next episode goes up right around Samhain anyways. So, hey. Nyx, get off my mouse. Oh my god, cat.
Well, it was a mouse.
She, like, laid on top of it. Hold on, let me see. Let me see for sure when our next episode goes up and we can kind of judge from there. Yep, look at that. Our next episode goes up on the full moon.
How cool.
So we have both of our episodes for this month are going up on one of the eclipse days, which is awesome.
That worked out so well.
Right?
Okay. Well, I hope everybody liked our stories and gave us a listen. You know, followed us on Instagram and, you know, liked and shared the podcast.
And hopefully you guys are cool with the switch to Saturdays instead of Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. It's easier.
It makes more sense.
Yeah, it's easier for all of us
involved
in the post stuff. It's a lot easier to have it on Saturdays. It was easy on Wednesdays back in COVID times because I didn't have students on Wednesdays and I could edit at work.
And in the summer.
Yeah.
When you're not working your regular 9-to-5, it's easier. Yeah. But when you're back in the swing of things, we'll be on Saturdays. So.
Yeah, we're probably going to stay on Saturdays. I kind of like the Saturday upload.
Yeah, I do too.
Nice chill. So, yeah.
Okay.
Hope you enjoy. As always, follow us on the things.
all the things. Do the things, click the buttons, share with your friends, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell the spooky bitch in your life to give us a listen.
Yeah. And as always, thank you to anybody who shares the podcast with other people. I get got a text from my brother today saying he shared it with a friend who shared it with his girlfriend and is loving it. So shout out to her. Yeah. Shout out to that. Shout out to Plant Girl, who I think is moving into her new house like this week.
Whoa.
I think I got a message while I was at work the other day. So shout out to Plant Girl. I know you're listening. Yes.
Hey, girl. We're just giving all the shout outs. Plant Girl, new listeners, new followers. That Twitch that we shouted out like 3 times later.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rowan for listening to her body and taking the night off. Shout out to Kara's brother. And shout out to Kara. And shout out to Saya.
Shout out to my cat who's licking my screen again.
Shout out to Nyx, who's losing her teeth and her mind.
And was trying to type in the group chat.
Oh, gosh. And shout out to my husband for putting up with me yelling this whole time.
Shout out to my husband, who's been having to deal with Gray by himself right now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Although it's kind of quiet, so he might have fallen asleep.
Okay. Shout out to sleeping babies. Thanks for tuning in, casters. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Witchy Spellcast. We hope you enjoyed this mystical journey with us. If you've been bewitched by our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review. It helps us spread the magic to more listeners. Remember, the power of the craft is always with you. Keep those cauldrons bubbling, wands at the ready, and may your spells always find their mark. Until next time, blessed be.